How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 91 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page as well. Find us on audioboom.com, too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage on every day of the week, except this week, of course, Thanksgiving. So no show tomorrow. This is the last show of the week. Back to my normal schedule next week, so Monday through Friday, as always, starting next week. But this week, just a Monday through Thursday week, like I said before. I feel like that's excusable. If there's one holiday I feel like I can take off, it's Thanksgiving. So that's what I mean. I don't take off Christmas. I work on Christmas. Thunder play on Christmas. Plus, like, I'm like one of like probably like two Jews in Oklahoma. So I don't think I really have a good excuse for taking off Christmas. I'm not even really taking off Thanksgiving. I'm just kind of putting the podcast aside because it's something I'm putting aside just for a day. I'm still writing. I'm still going to have stuff in the Norman Transcript. I'm still covering that game against the Nuggets on Friday night, though. Like I said, I'm not going to be there. I'm in OKC right now, but I'll still be writing about that game, getting my stories up. I still have a story up that I recorded on that Kings that I wrote about on that Kings game. They just lost 116-101 to the Kings. And man, I have a really fun feature. Not to push my own stuff too hard, but I do have a feature that I think is really fun that's coming out. It's going to come out Friday. I think we're going to do it. Unless there's some sort of change that I wasn't aware about and they're putting it out on Thanksgiving. I think that's going to come out on Friday. Honestly, I didn't even have to do anything for this feature. It's all in the quotes. I think it's going to be, just frankly, it's just going to be an enjoyable, fun read, I think. And I think you'll be able to skip the words that I write and just read the quotes and probably enjoy it that much. So stay tuned for that. That's probably going to be out on Friday. I'll be playing it up on social media a lot. So if you follow me on Twitter or something, I'm at Fred Katz on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you're not going to miss that. Let's talk a little bit about this basketball game from Wednesday night. Thunder lost to the Kings, like I said, 116-101. They're now 8-8 on the season. They've lost 7 out of 9 games. Russell Westbrook, 31 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. I feel like I just read Russell Westbrook's lines after every game now just to keep everybody updated on how close he was to a triple-double. Still stuck at 5 triple-doubles on the season after missing 1 assist short tonight of getting triple-double number 6. Victor Oladipo, 18 points, 6 rebounds. DeMarcus Cousins for the Kings, 36 points, 13 boards. Darren Collison, point guard for the Kings, 21 points, 6 assists. 3-point defense, a problem for the third game in a row right now. The Kings shot 12 of 28 from the field. So Thunder opponents are now 37 for 77 over the last 3 games from 3-point range. That's not an ideal percentage. They're really allowing teams, and it's all starting where they're allowing teams to get to the middle of the floor. They're allowing teams to get into areas where defense don't want guys getting. I think early in the year, and you know, over this 9-game stretch where they've lost 7 games, so since November 8th, that's that 9-game stretch, they're 23rd in defense right now. 23rd in points allowed per possession. They're still a top 10 defense overall in the season. That shows how good they were in those first 7 games, but they're 23rd in defense. Part of the reason why, they're allowing teams to get into the middle of the floor. And this is a defense where schematically, everything is set up to push teams to the sidelines. That's nothing revolutionary. That's what I would say most defenses do. They want to keep the ball to the sidelines as opposed to in the middle of the floor. Because the middle of the floor is where you can create stuff. It's where you can get your spot-up shots and whatnot. And a lot of those threes that the Kings got on Wednesday night, that Indiana got the other night, that the Lakers got, a lot of those were spot-up threes, and a lot of those were generated as a result of those teams being able to get to the middle of the floor. The Kings had 54 points in the paint. Obviously, that's generated by them getting to the middle of the floor, getting into the paint. a lot of these things are because they're able to get to the middle of the floor. They're able to drive and kick. They're able to kick and then swing around the perimeter. These are a lot of good looks that the Thunder are giving up. The Kings only had 5 makes from mid-range. The Thunder want to give up mid-range shots. That's what they want to do. But the Kings only had 5 makes from mid-range. I think they were 5 for 16 or 5 for 17 or something like that from the mid-range area. Only 5 makes. And they still had scored 114 points per 100 possessions, which is a ridiculous rate. That's a great rate for a team. That's like what the Warriors average on the season, 114 points per 100 possessions. That's a remarkable rate. And when you're giving that up to a team that is not necessarily a bad offensive team, the Kings are not a low-ranked offensive team. I think they're in the top half of the league in offense, but they're not like a top 10 offensive team or anything like that. The Kings are losing games not because of their defense, but they're not a top 10 offensive team. And when you're giving up a rate like that because you're allowing a team like that, you're allowing Collison to get to the middle of the floor. You're allowing Cousins to kill you inside. And if Cousins is going to kill you inside, like, that stuff happens. He's DeMarcus Cousins. He's the most dominant low post player since Shaquille O'Neal. That stuff happens. But they lost him the 3-point line a few times. He played really well on top of that. Look, when a great player kills you, there's no reason to deride it. But the guys who they let in the middle of the floor, the Darren Collisons, even the Ty Lawsons. Ty Lawson is, with the way that he plays stylistically, like, he's not that tough of a player to guard right now. And part of it is because he's so pass first. He never shoots anymore. You look at the numbers, I'm pretty sure Ty Lawson passes out of drives, like, by far more than any other point guard in the league. And he passes in basically every scenario. He never shoots anymore. And I thought the Thunder did kind of a weird job guarding passing lanes. It was kind of an off night from a few of their defenders. Jeremy Grant was a little more gambly than usual. Victor Oladipo was too. They were going over ball screens a lot of the time in an effort to try to get steals, which was led to some of those Sacramento threes. And Billy Donovan talked about that after the game. Actually, it was not an inspired defensive effort. I mean, even Andre Roberson, who those who listen to the podcast often know, I think remarkably highly of Andre Roberson as a defender. And this is not a comment on Andre Roberson's overall defensive game. I think sometimes when you talk about someone on defense, I think there's not a lot of nuance on defense. I don't think people really talk about that often. So-and-so had a good defensive game or bad defensive game or good defensive possession, bad defensive possession, and here's why. I think we kind of just talk about defense overall. It's like Kawhi Leonard's good at defense, and that's it. It's because most people don't really understand defense. Like, people don't talk about offense like that. They don't say Russell Westbrook's good at offense. They say Russell Westbrook is good at driving, and he's good at pick and roll, and he's not a great shooter, but he's really good at finishing, and like, They break it down a lot more. No one says that stuff on defense. Andre Roberson was not good on pump fakes tonight. He bit on a few ball fakes. It led to a couple of fouls. It led to guys getting to the rim. And it wasn't just shots. He bit on a couple of ball fakes too. He was just kind of off tonight. It was a weird Roberson night for a guy who's so disciplined. Like, consistently so disciplined against the guys who will bait you with the best of them. He didn't quite have that discipline tonight. Now, all of this is something that's worth mentioning in all of this context is not only was this the second night of a back-to-back, it was the fourth game in 5 nights. That's hard. It's exhausting. It was on the road. That's real difficult. And that is something that should be in this context. Like, when you're tired, you're more prone to cheat. When you're tired, and when I say cheat, I mean, you know, try to gamble. Or maybe try to jump on a pump fake. Maybe try to get out ahead of a guy. These are all things you do when you're tired. When you're tired, you're a little more likely to give up the middle of the floor. But the reason I think this stuff is concerning, you know, I said when they lost to Detroit that it was a schedule loss. It was the second night of a back-to-back, even though Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson didn't play in that game. I said it was a schedule loss. And I stand by that. But the issue with this game, even though same type of thing, fourth game in 5 nights, second night of a back-to-back, the issue here is the way they did it. These are things they're supposed to be excelling at more than they actually are. And I think that, look, I'm not, I see my Twitter mentions, they suck, they're terrible. I don't think they suck. I don't think that's the case. I think they're playing bad basketball right now. They've lost 7 out of 9. It's hard to say they're playing good basketball. But it's definitely concerning with the way that they're losing some of these games. Look, I don't expect them to score well in the half court at all this year. I didn't expect that coming into the year. You know, they scored 28 fast break points tonight, and the Kings weren't very good in transition defense. That's something that should have been a matchup that they took advantage of. So I'm not necessarily shocked by that. But the consistency that the defense is allowing the opposition to get to the middle of the floor, I think that's a concern. That's something I didn't necessarily see coming, and that's something to worry about. Quickly, before we continue, I just want to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium or the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you can always get the best deals on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LO Thunder, LO like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Some Twitter questions before we go from David A. Victor. Considering the Thunder's highs and lows right now on rebounding and defense, do the Thunder need more of an Ersan Ilyasova or Jeremy Grant skilled player? Was that the right trade? My opinion on that trade hasn't really changed. I mean, look, I think the issue with that trade is not Ersan Ilyasova. I'm all for the Thunder thinking in the long term. Like, whether the Thunder end up winning, even if you think that Ersan Ilyasova is a better player to help this roster right now, which is fine because he's a good shooter. He actually had a good game tonight for Philly. But he's a good shooter who can help a modern-day roster because he's a four who can shoot threes. And that's a valuable thing, even if he's not necessarily a defensive player. And Jeremy Grant is still raw, and he's developing, and he has flaws, although he's got some nice traits. He's a tremendous athlete, and he's got great defensive potential, and he finishes around the rim, and he's great in transition. He can take you off the dribble and all this really nice stuff. I'm all for the Thunder going in on their future and not on their present. You know, I've talked about that a lot. Jeremy Grant's 22 years old. He's under contract really cheap for another year after this one. Ersan Ilyasova was going to be a free agent. They probably weren't going to re-sign him. That didn't really make much sense, so they flip him. If you don't like that trade, it's because of the first-round pick they gave up, which would be in 2020 or later, depending on how that protection works. But if you don't like that trade, it's because of the draft pick, which is totally reasonable. I won't fight you on that. That's if you value draft picks like that, if you don't think Jeremy Grant is worth that draft pick, that's fine. That's fine, but I don't think saying Ilyasova is a better player right now, even if you believe that, again, that's an okay thing to believe too. If you think Ilyasova is the better player right now, I don't think that's necessarily the perspective that really works in this scenario. I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go about it. Now, the rebounding is a problem, which is weird to say. And it's not a problem in that they're not good at it. They are a good rebounding team. They rebound the ball well. But they're not absolutely dominant in it. And I kind of thought they would be. There are two reasons why the Thunder offense is worse than I thought it would be this year. Or at least there are two reasons why through 16 games, the Thunder offense has been worse than I thought it would be this year. Because I didn't think that they would be. Their percentages on the shots that they're taking are pretty much, when I sat down and broke it down at the start of the year, they're pretty much what I thought they would be. But I thought number one, I figure they're going to be getting to the rim a lot and there'll be a lot of defenders in the paint and they'd be getting to the line a lot. Not the case. Russell Westbrook's getting to the line a lot. The rest of the team is getting the line almost never. They're in the bottom half of the league in free throw rate, which is just basically the percentage of it's free throws divided by field goal attempts. They're in the bottom half of the league in that stat, which is a real surprise to me because they're like top five in the league in field goal attempts inside the restricted area. I figure they'd be drawing a lot more fouls, but they're not. They're not drawing a lot of fouls at all. And I'm surprised by that. I thought they'd be going to the line more, which I thought was going to help their offensive efficiency. other thing I thought was going to help their offense. Thought they'd be grabbing more offensive rebounds. I thought this team was, you know, you're never going to be a lock to lead the league in anything. But I thought the Thunder were about as close to a lock as you can be to leading the league in offensive rebound rate as they possibly could be. They led the league in offensive rebound rate last year. I figured Kanter be getting at least the same amount of minutes. Adams improved and will be getting a lot of minutes. Westbrook is a great offensive rebounder. Robertson's a really good offensive rebounder as a wing. LaVern is good. At the time, Elias Silver was on the roster. He was good. And I was like, man, this team is going all in on offensive rebounding in terms of roster building. They're going to lead the league, and they haven't done it. They've been good. They're in the top 10, but they didn't grab a lot of offensive rebounds in this game. The Kings grabbed 55% of available rebounds overall, and they out-offensive rebounded them as well. The Kings weren't great on the offensive glass, but they were great on the defensive glass, which is something that we just never really saw with the Thunder do. Thunder were a great offensive rebound team. They led the league in offensive rebound rate last year, and they're not doing it right now. Now, part of it is that teams are so exaggeratedly packing the paint against them. They've already got two or three or four defenders in the paint when shots are going up. And because of that, they just have four guys around the basket, so it's easier for them to grab defensive rebounds. That's definitely a thing. But even with that being the case, I'm surprised the Thunder are not rebounding quite as well on the offensive glass as I thought they would. I really am. And look, Ilyasova is a better rebounder than Jeremy Grant, no question. But again, there's nothing that could happen this year that could color my opinion of that trade. Because in my mind, that trade was a trade for the future. It wasn't a trade for now. And if you're making a trade for the future, it's hasty at best to try to evaluate it 3 weeks later. And probably irresponsible at worst to try to evaluate it 3 weeks later. You know, one trade begats another trade, begats another trade, begats another, not even trade, transaction, begats another one, begats another one. That's kind of how this stuff works. All trades are interrelated, interconnected. You don't want to, pretty much any trade, it's pretty hard to look back at 3 weeks later and be like, okay, here's the winner, here's the loser. Especially one that's pretty outwardly supposed to be forward thinking. Final question, and second question from David Ringel. How much of a problem is the Thunder's lack of production from the bench? Yeah, it's a problem. Look, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when Cameron Payne comes back. We still don't know when that's going to be. No timetable on Payne. We still don't know. He's doing some stuff outside of the walking boot now. That's good news for the Thunder. But yeah, that's a problem. I mean, Samaje Christen was pretty close to an 8 trillion tonight, which is not what you want to see from your backup point guard. Obviously, you know, he has the facial injury and is coming back from a concussion and only played 3 minutes in that last game last night against the Lakers. But Christen has been an inefficient offensive player, for sure. And you know, he's a second-round pick. He's a rookie. This is not the position. I mean, it is the position he was supposed to be in coming into the year when he officially did make the roster. But, like, 2 months ago, this guy was not on an NBA roster officially. He was a non-guaranteed player who was a fourth point guard who was looking to get cut. He was kind of thrust into this situation. Let's see what happens when Cameron Payne comes back. They are lacking creators. I think Payne is a pretty good talent. Now, he looked like a rookie last year. And if he looks like a rookie again this year, the Thunder still have problems. Because Victor Oladipo is not the perfect second facilitator. I think Victor Oladipo has been better than people have given him credit for. I think the expectations were unfairly high for him. And I thought that from the beginning. I thought they were unfairly high for him. I think he's been pretty decent. He's been shooting the ball really well. You know, I think people want him to be like poor man's Russell Westbrook. It's just not the player he is. But he's good. And the fact that he's been shooting the ball really well is a great help. And I think of late, he's actually been a pretty nice fit next to Russell Westbrook. But running the second unit, he's looked uncomfortable at times. It's not working out that is the greatest thing in the world right now. Maybe with Cameron Payne there. I still at the very least understand Billy Donovan's, you know, inclination to stagger Westbrook and Oladipo. You kind of have to do that, especially if you're only going to play, you know, Chris in 8 minutes. When Payne comes back, I think it's possible Donovan continues that same substitution rotation with Westbrook and Oladipo, kind of staggering those two guys. I wonder how things are going to look differently with Payne there. I think it's hard to judge before pain comes back. But yes, I mean, look, in short, yeah, of course the bench production is a problem. I want to say before I go, though, Kanter was better tonight. Thought Kanter had, you know, I would have to go through every single game this year before I, like, really said for sure if this was true or not. But I'll say this was Kanter's best defensive game in a little while. Maybe his best defensive game of the year. He was okay on defense tonight. Did a pretty good job one-on-one against Cousins. Had a couple of pick and rolls where he kind of thwarted a driving lane, recovered back onto his man. And I was like, oh, that was pretty good. So he, and you know what? He, look, this doesn't mean anything in a 21-minute sample size other than the fact that, like, he didn't single-handedly destroy a defense. But Enes Kanter, the Thunder had their best defensive rating of any, with any individual player on the floor. Enes Kanter was that guy. Thunder had an 87 defensive rating with Enes Kanter on the floor against the Kings. By far, their best defensive rating of any, for any individual player while he was on the floor. So look, that doesn't mean Kanter was the best defender, but it does mean that Kanter being on the floor didn't individually kill their defense, which has happened in a couple of scenarios so far this season. I thought he did a pretty good job against the Kings, but that's also an okay matchup for the way he wants to play, and the Kings didn't quite, you know, attack him and pick and rolls or exploit his weaknesses when he was on the floor or anything like that. But I thought he did a nice job, and he deserves some praise for that one, even in the loss. Before we go, remember, no show tomorrow. This is the last one of the week, like I said at the top of the show. Not a full day off again. Like I said, my writing's still up on normantranscript.com. It's still in the paper. Got that feature up on Friday. Got coverage of the Nuggets game on Friday night as well. And lots of other Thunder stuff. You know, covering the Pistons game on Saturday. Then I'm heading to New York on Sunday. They got the Knicks on Monday. So lots of coverage on Twitter and on normantranscript.com and in the paper if you read the print version or whatever it is. There's still lots of Thunder coverage. Just no podcast tomorrow. That's the only change. Back to the usual schedule next week. Shows Monday through Friday next week and every week following that. You can head on to iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ, like I said at the top of the show. And you can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Off of the long weekend, back with you next week for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.